Another story has to do with the work that we did in Cyprus, which is on quite a different scale. We actually helped catalyze a citizen peace-building movement there. And we started with 20 people, 10 from each side. There had been some bicommunal work before we started working on the island, so it's not like we were starting from total ground zero, but what had happened had been isolated and it hadn't really followed through very much. And when we got there, it was virtually impossible for anyone to cross the line, the green line between the two communities. There was no phone communication. If someone did manage to contact someone on the other side, they would probably see their names in the headlines the next day. So-and-so is a traitor, met with the enemy, you know. Mm-hmm. So we started, and we worked separately for 2 years with each community. And then we brought them together in a group that we took off the island, 10 people from each side. And there are two highlights, there are many, many beautiful stories from that, but there are two highlights I want to share. One is when those 20 people came back from their week in England with us. It was a powerful transformational experience for those individuals, really turned their world upside down. And there were some very powerful people in that group, the son of the president on one side, the daughter of the president on the other, and other people who had quite a bit of influence. When the Greek Cypriots stepped off the plane, they were surprised by being confronted with the right-wing media in their circles, who attacked them virulently as traitors, as having treated with the enemy, negotiated behind the back of the government, you know, every vile thing they could think of, and untrue things, by the way. Mm. You know, you sold us down the river, how could you do such a thing? And the Greek Cypriot team was so taken aback. They weren't expecting this. They weren't totally prepared for it, although we tried to do some reentry work to prepare people for the responses they might get. So they spent a few days kind of hibernating. Oh, gee. And they were getting threatening phone calls. We know where your children live. Mm-hmm. Don't expect to have a job tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And couldn't walk out of their house without, you know, some television camera there waiting to waylay them. And the public was angry. The public was, got the message that the media was trying to put out and held them in contempt. And as I said, attack. I mean, they got some real negative threats. So they kind of recouped. They caught their breath and they said, wait a minute. You know, it doesn't have to be this way. What did we learn in the workshop? How can we step into this, tell the truth of our experience, and meet the energy, turn it around, which is what we had talked about in the workshop. So they contacted the media. They said, we want to be interviewed. Please interview us. We'll be on panels. We'll do one-on-one interviews, whatever you like. And they made themselves a presence on the public airwaves. And they said, here's what we did. You know, not what you say we did. Here's what we really did. Here's what we really said. Here's what we really learned. We didn't, you know, give away the shop. We didn't change what we believe, but here's what we broadened our experience to include. And then a very strange thing started to happen. And they would walk down the street, and instead of getting, how dare you, how could you possibly do this, they got people coming up to them, strangers, who would say, did you really talk to those people? I didn't know you could do that. Can I do it too? And from that question, can I get involved also, they started making lists, waiting lists. They put names down. And they had so many people who wanted to be involved in these dialogues that we had to go in and train, ultimately 50 trainers, to run local citizen dialogue groups. Wow. Cross-border dialogue groups, and that grew the movement. And I'm convinced it was because they had the courage to step in front of the camera and say, let us tell you the truth of our experience. Mm-hmm. And it took courage because they were getting death threats. Yeah. Okay, so that was one very powerful moment. A result of that moment, I'll give you a couple of stages of the result, because that was in 1993.
Okay.
So 10 years later, what's happened? Well, in 1997, well, let me start by saying we began our work in 91 there, and we always said, we will know when we are successful when they try to shut us down. Hmm. We were so successful in 93 with that group and other events like it that the U.S. government, in the shape of the U.S. ambassador on the island at the time and the U.N., decided to make this kind of bicommunal work their foreign policy for Cyprus. And they wrote it up in the U.N. Secretary General's reports, and they wrote it up in the reports back to Washington, the State Department, and they funded it. And they made it possible. It's American foreign policy to organize and support this kind of citizen peace building. And then other countries followed suit. At first, there was nobody else but the U.S., or maybe the Brits did one or two small things, but suddenly everybody's doing it now. Okay. The result is, in 97, in fact, they shut it down. The Turkish side, Turkish Cypriot side, shut it down. No, because by that time, we had people going across the border, and they were making friends, and they were writing to each other on email, and it was big. And there was, I don't even remember now what the occasion was, it was something about the European Union, Turkey not being accepted in the European Union, and the Turkish Cypriot regime shut down all bicommunal contact and started harassing people who wanted to continue, because they, some of them found ways to get around the restrictions. And the secret police, you know, would follow, and it was still a challenge, but some people continued to meet. Well, the UN at that point said, oh, well, gee, every year we have a big bicommunal fair for UN Celebration Day, and looks like this year we can't do it because everything's closed off. Mm-hmm. And the people who had been in the core of this emerging citizen peacebuilding group said, we'll do it. We'll organize it for you. And they did, and 10,000 people showed up.
From both sides?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Hmm. So I always consider that a benchmark, from 20 people to 10,000 at a time when it was not politically correct, at least from one community, to be meeting. And when the UN had basically thrown up its hands and said, we can't do this, the citizens got together and organized this event. Since then, there have been many large-scale events, and there's dozens, if not hundreds, of local, citizen-based, non-governmental initiatives, programs, committees, groups, meetings, projects, initiatives happening. Mm. The next benchmark that I want to talk about is what happened last April. Again, it emerged from a situation in global politics where the Turkish regime in Ankara said, we have to show some act of good faith, especially around Cyprus, if we want to be acceptable to the European Union. So, quite by surprise, not only did the Turkish Cypriot regime reallow contact, but they actually opened the borders. So suddenly anyone could go back and forth. These borders hadn't been open since 1974. In some cases, 63. So people who had been refugees, who had left their homes 30, 40 years ago, were able to go back for the first time in decades and see the reality of, you know, what they had left and how it stands now, and kind of break some of the myths about, oh, we're going back to our village. You know? Mm. But more important, it established a whole new baseline. You know, from the baseline that we started at in 91, where you couldn't even bring the groups together. We had to meet with them separately for 2 years. Now suddenly the baseline is, we can cross anytime we want. We can see our friends on the other side. We can make friends on the other side. We can do things together. We can go for a coffee to the seashore. We can have each other in our homes. Yeah. It's a whole other world. And again, it is the citizen peace-building movement that started back then, that is the driving force of so many of the things that are happening now.